Let us turn to the Holy Word of God, and I direct your prayerful attention to the portion that we read. We read for our text in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16, and it particularly is the last phrase, "And the Lord shut him in." And the Lord shut him in. Genesis 7, verse 16, the end. Now, what is upon my spirit this evening is the Lord Jesus Christ in the types of the Old Testament, and particularly this evening in the type of the ark, Noah's ark. It has pleased the Almighty to set forth through the Scriptures many types and shadows, many things like the Apostle refers to in Hebrews 9, where he speaks of the patterns and that were figures in verse 9 of chapter 9 of Hebrews. He says, which was a figure for the time then present. And we have the tabernacle, we have the holiest of all veiled with a veil and no way into that. And the apostle says there was a significance in that, that the way into the holiest, whereas the Lord Jesus Christ had not come and not made that way. So that signified something. And later on in that chapter as well, in verse 24, we have, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself." And so we have that teaching that in the Scriptures, those things that were in the tabernacle, the things that were made, they were figures, they were patterns. It was through those that the Old Testament saints were able to get glimpses of Christ, what his work was to be, who he was to be in his ability to save, ability to deliver. And we see this in many aspects. We think of how the Apostle Paul says that the children of Israel, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so again, we have those types and those shadows there. We must always remember, where we look at a type, it never does follow through in every particular. Our Lord spoke of a sign being given, which was the sign of Jonas the prophet. Well, his being buried in the sea and then brought up again, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But we would never liken the Lord to the disobedient, running away prophet, the prophet that couldn't get hardly over his anger because God would show mercy to repenting people. And so we have from the Lord himself those examples of taking one aspect of a life or one aspect of a type, and it being a true type where we truly will see a glimpse of Christ, and yet we won't see it in the whole account or whole of that person's life. And we specifically see this in Noah's Ark, of course, because eventually the Ark was not needed and the people went out of the Ark, whereas Christ shall be everything to the people of God, though not, as it were, in the same here below and to bring his people to heaven. Yet heaven without Christ, without the elder brother, without our captain, without our Redeemer, Saviour, would not be heaven. And so we can't look at the ark in that way, right, following through in all of the parts and all of the times. Noah was said to be a preacher of righteousness, and Peter speaks of Christ going and preaching unto them that are in prison, which in the time of Noah they waited, and it refers to Noah preaching Christ and those that rejected the word there and perished, that those that then in hell, those had the gospel preached to them in their day and in their generation. And so we have Noah, and he is mentioned right through scriptures. And I set that before you because we believe the word of God from beginning to end, and the literal account of Noah, that is no fable, but it is a real historical account. How God destroyed the old world by water, how that he preserved 8 people alive in the ark, and all the animals with them, and the birds, and renewed the earth, and the evidences of that flood right through the earth, and in the writings of many, many peoples. But throughout the scriptures, is referred to not only in Genesis, but also Isaiah, Ezekiel, the Chronicles. Our Lord, of course, refers to Noah, and we have it in Hebrews 11. We have Noah as a man of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It is vital that we hold to the real account. I often think of the scriptures, how many names are written there. And Noah features in many of the genealogies. And why are there so many names? Because it deals with real people and the real history of this world. Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the account of Noah that I want to look at with the Lord's help this evening, to look at what Noah would have seen. We are able to see now that we have the clear revelation of Christ, but to see the types that Noah had, and to look at them, and to see the Lord Jesus Christ in that type. And so with the Lord's help, I want to look at 3 headings. Firstly, the types of Christ that Noah saw in the construction of the ark itself. And then secondly, the types of Christ that Noah saw in the day that the flood came. And then lastly, the types of Christ that Noah knew while in the ark. So firstly, the types of Christ in the construction of the ark. Firstly, we are told that the ark was made out of gopher wood. It is the only time in Scripture that that wood is mentioned. It is the only construction that was made with gopher wood. And we cannot help noticing as well that in the wilderness journeys of the children of Israel, when they were commanded to make the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, the furniture of the tabernacle, it was shittim wood, word that came from a place called Shittim. And the children of Israel actually dwelt for some time in that place. But again, it's the only place in Scripture that we read of that word being used. And so you have a unique word, a word that was just for that purpose. You could think of as well with the anointing oil and the fragrances of the tabernacle, all of them, there was to be nothing like it made. That was to be the only one. And so with this, with Noah, the actual construction of the ark, it was made of that which was unique. It just belonged to the ark and not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. Christ is unique. There is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one God and one Father and one Lord Jesus Christ. God and man in one person, a unique person to join both natures, truly human, truly divine, in one person. And there is none other on earth, in heaven, that has a person that has two natures like that. Christ is unique, and his uniqueness was specifically for the salvation of his people, to save his people, to be made bone of our flesh and flesh of our flesh, to be made like unto his brethren, not just spirit like the angels, not just flesh like the beasts, but flesh and spirit like the seed of Abraham. And so Noah would have had this message, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head, the one that was to come, the one that was to be a continued promise through this time of the destruction of the world, was to be a unique Saviour, that he was to be made as none other was made. Well, did Job marvel, and he says, but how can a clean thing come out of an unclean? It's to be the seed of the woman, but the woman is fallen, and man is fallen. How can it be so? And we know that the Lord then said to Mary, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. Wherefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Christ is unique. The second thing that was mentioned in the construction of the ark was that it had three stories to it. Now, I would just say, in speaking on this, obviously many aspects of the construction of the ark and many things about the ark were of a purely practical nature. It had to fulfill a practical purpose of housing not only Noah, but the animals, the food, the waste, everything. It had to be a functional vehicle, a vessel. And so we don't want to read into it what is not there. But what we find right the way through the Scripture is a great significance in three. The 3 days our Lord was in the tomb. The 3 days that Abraham took to take his son up to Mount Moriah to offer him up. The 3 times that Balaam offered the perfect number of sacrifices from 3 different perspectives. And now here we have 3 stories in a vessel that is a vessel of salvation. And immediately we see the Trinity here. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Father sent the Son. The willing Son obeyed. The Holy Spirit, the witness, to ratify that witness and sacrifice that God has made. And he seals it upon the hearts of the people of God. Salvation is of God. Our Lord said, the Father himself loveth you. And it is the Holy Spirit that is the author of the scriptures, the author of the new birth, the author of every blessing, spiritual blessings, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we get a little glimpse here, these three stories, as it were, in this vessel of salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a triune God. Then we have in the third place that there is a door. I've no doubt the door was in one of the stories, in the lower story perhaps. There wasn't three doors, there's one door. And our Lord in John 10, when he speaks of the parable of the good shepherd, and he says very clearly that I am the door into the sheepfold. Noah, all those that went into the ark, they all went through that one door, no other way. Again, what a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, if you and I are brought into the way of salvation, the way of deliverance, it will be through that one door, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how clearly it is set before us in Scripture. And when we have the response of dear Peter, where he says, when many left the Lord, he says, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There was only one way. There is none other way. If ye believe not that I am he, says our Lord, ye shall perish in your sins. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And how beautifully, what a simple illustration this is. But how beautifully it sets before us as sinners, guilty sinners, needing of a refuge, needing of deliverance from the wrath to come. And this one door is set before us. A door of hope is open wide in Jesus' bleeding hands and side. The ark had a door. The Church of God has a door. A poor sinner has a door set before them. And in the Gospel, and in Gospel days, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. The fourth aspect of the ark was that it had to have a window. Those that were in that ark, they had to have light. The Lord Jesus Christ sets forth that he is the light of the world, that those that are in him shall not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. And so with the ark again, how it was, many have conjectured as to how it was, whether it ran the full length of the ark, whether it was on the top of the ark. It gave light, it gave also ventilation, we don't know. All we know is what the Spirit has seen fit to tell us, that there was a window. And what is a window for? To let in light and to let out light. It sets forth light. And yes, we can't think of the types and say, well, there was no light in the ark, it had to come from outside. We move from that. We think of the ark, a window, and light, and how it agrees with the scriptures, that there is light in the Lord Jesus Christ. The darkness that is upon this earth, the darkness in poor fallen man, but when the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shines into our hearts, what a blessed light that is. Well, there is the last thing I'd mention concerning the construction, and that is the size of the ark. We are given the dimensions of it in cubits, and we are given the proportions of it, how that the length of it was such that it was very stable in that direction. But then we have also the width of it. The width of it was wider than what the depth of it was. And so with the actual proportions of the ark, it was to be a very, very stable vessel. If we were to make a box, in fact, I think proportion-wise or similarity would be a shoebox. A shoebox would be a similar proportions. And if you put it in water, then it would be very stable. And so was the ark. Stability in Christ. But not only that, there was to be a sufficiency. What if the ark wasn't big enough? What if all the animals got there and there wasn't enough room for them all? What if there wasn't enough to fulfill the purpose that it was made for just at that crucial time? There was. The Lord had given the dimensions for it, the same later on for all of the, with the construction of the tabernacle. And there was a sufficiency. There was room enough. And what a message there is in the gospel there. A sufficiency in Christ. There is room for every poor sinner that comes seeking salvation. It shall never be said, it is full, there's no room for you. There's room in Christ. It's a blessed thing. The Lord knew exactly who that ark was for, and he knows exactly who he is for, who he suffered for on Calvary's tree, who he bled for, those that the Father gave him to redeem, and those that he did redeem, and those that he will call, and those that out of a sense of need will flee unto Christ and seek unto him. Through the type here with Noah, they have the assurance that there is a sufficiency, there is room in the Lord Jesus Christ for all that seek unto him. So we have in the construction of the actual ark itself those five aspects of type that Noah would have seen, that we can see and meditate upon with comparing with other scriptures, setting forth the suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ in the construction of the ark. But then we have, secondly, the types of Christ that Noah saw in the day that the flood came. the day that the heavens were to be opened, the day when the earth was to be destroyed, the day when their great need was, that day when destruction was coming. What was the ark then? What types of Christ are set before us then? The first is this, a prepared place. 100 years that ark was a preparing. All that labour, but on that last day, that day when the Lord would rain from heaven and break up the deep, it was finished. It was finished. It was all prepared, all ready for that very time. How many times in Scripture is a prepared place? Eden was a prepared place. God prepared it, then he put man into it. Canaan was a prepared place. He said they did not have to build houses. They did not have to build or plant vineyards. It was all there. And they came and they possessed that land. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The ark was a prepared place. It was already for that time. And you know, in gospel days, the ark of grace, the ark of Christ, the ark of the refuge, the hiding place, the salvation, is a prepared place. The dear disciples were to go forth and to preach a gospel of which our Lord on Calvary, he said, it is finished. And he rose from the dead, an assurance unto all men. That gospel is a prepared gospel. And you know, even in the times, even in those that knew in the Old Testament day, that looked forward to Christ, that believed on him. You think of David, when David was told by Nathan the parable of the poor man's lamb. And he was convicted of the murder of Uriah, of adultery with Bathsheba. And David says, I have sinned. Well, Nathan does not need to say, well, I must then go back to God and ask him what we can do. And if there's any respite, if there's any escape from the punishment, because you're a murderer, a premeditated murderer, and there's no provision for you. He doesn't say anything of that. He immediately says, the Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. The remedy was already there. As soon as David confessed his sin, as soon as he owned it, immediately there was forgiveness and pardon. The work of our Lord is a finished work, and that place in Christ is a prepared place for sinners, that sinners that live to feel their need, they're welcome there. And in their greatest time of need, as it was with Noah, that is when a prepared place is to be valued. Oh yes, some might say, oh yes, Noah had a part in this and all that. No. Salvation is of God. The type that we have and where we want to see is Christ in all the Scriptures. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Noah, he did indeed by faith build this literal ark to the saving of his house. And really, every poor sinner that seeks unto Christ, he also is doing the same thing by faith, looking unto Christ, seeking unto Christ, seeking unto God's provision of salvation. That's what it is. The ark was God's provision of salvation. And so every poor sinner that is brought to look that way will find that it is already prepared, already done. Think when the Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples on the shore. They were fishing and they hadn't caught anything all night. He said, cast the net the right side of the ship. They caught then the 153 fishes. They brought them to the shore. He said, bring now your fishes. But in a sense, they didn't need them. When they came there, he had a fire. He had the fish already. The provision was already there. Already provided. And so it is in Christ. Well, the second thing is an only hope. In the day that flood came, what other place had Noah to look? If that ark wasn't any good, if it wasn't big enough, if it leaked, if something was not right prepared, where else could he look? Where else could he go? It was an only hope. Dear friends, have you got an only hope? It's a blessed thing if that only hope is Christ. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. We don't need, we don't want a lot of different hopes, as it were. We want one, and it's a good hope through grace, a hope in Christ and Christ alone. And that's what Noah had. And you picture that. You picture the scene. Dry land all around. The ark sitting there. But the heavens to be opened up. And the time of the Lord's judgment upon the earth to come. And there stood the ark alone. How many times in our life, dear friends, whether it is as a sinner under the lashings of a broken law, whether it is one in affliction's hour, whether it is in the valley of the shadow of death, whichever place it is, may we think of Noah and his only hope, and our eyes be upon Christ. And Christ alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The third thing on that day was a command. A command by God to enter. We have it in verse 1, chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou, and all thy house into the ark. Come thou. You think of that? The last great day. Come thou, blessed of my Father, enter. The kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, come thou. It's a blessed thing when all is settled and all is needed is for the Lord to say to his dear people, come now. Come up higher. Come now. All prepared, all ready. Come now. Now, Noah was right prepared. The need was there. The place was there. Everything was there. It's like the feast, all prepared and all ready. The Lord told the parable, didn't he? Come, get some guests for the wedding banquet. But there were those they didn't want to come. They wouldn't come. But when you get a prepared sinner, and one that is in the position like Noah was, how sweet, how sacred to have that word, come now. May the Lord speak into your heart and into mine. Come now. The fourth thing that Noah would have seen on that day was a separation. Noah was to leave that old world and enter into that ark, never to see that old world again. How different it would be a year and 10 days later. No people on the earth but those eight. No animals but those that were in the ark. A completely regenerated earth and landscapes are very, very different. What a separation. The scriptures teach separation from the beginning to end. Sometimes it's very hard. We see it in the case with Lot. Lot took a lot to be separated from Sodom, didn't he? And the angel was merciful bringing him out. And he remembered Abraham when he brought him out, Abraham's pleading. We hear in the gospel, come ye out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let us go out unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Noah had to be separated. And the church is a separated church. The way of Christ is a narrow way. It is a way that only the people of God shall walk. And it's a way of separation. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. If they have done these things in a green tree, says our Lord, what shall they do in the dry? If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. I am not of the world, the Lord said, even as they are not of the world. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. A separation from an ungodly world, but a separation unto Christ. You cannot serve God and mammon. Noah, you cannot stay on this earth and be saved. You must enter into the ark. It must be a separation. We don't know how many other relatives or other friends or those that Noah had, we're not told of any. But we know that they only went into the ark. Never be ashamed of the separation that godliness, holiness, righteousness will necessarily cause. Never be ashamed of going out of the camp unto the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying with him, cleaving to him. It is in that way, as it was with Noah, that there is salvation and deliverance. But lastly, in this second point, a people shut in. This is the word of our text. And the Lord shut him in. What a picture. Noah and his family going in and all the animals into the ark. One time they're all round about the ark, as it were, all gathering together. And then they go in. And the door is shut. And looking on from outside, all we see is the ark. We don't see those that are within. We only see the ark. Oh, that I might, says the apostle, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith. Hide me, O thou Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. And there is Noah received into that ark. He's hidden in Christ. He's sheltering in Christ. You think how many times this type was repeated. You think of it on that Passover night as the angel went over the houses of the children of Israel. Was there any of the children of Israel to be seen? No, not one. They were all in the houses. What was seen? The blood on the doorpost, the blood on the lintel. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so we have here Noah entering in, and the door is shut, securing him in, and also shutting the others out. We think of our Lord's parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, and how that the foolish had no oil in their vessels with their lamps. They had a profession, but they did not have the possession of grace. They did not have a store that was in Christ outside of themselves. Many poor sinners mourn that they've got nothing in themselves. They're empty, empty vessels, and they've got no store in themselves. What that parable was teaching was not a store in themselves, but they had in the vessels with their lamps. And if we are truly amongst the wise, then our store is in Christ, our fullness in Christ. We have in the Colossians, it hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It was to be in Christ, not in us. And so with the parable of our Lord, while there were those that they went to buy, then the bridegroom came and the door was shut. It's too late then. Too late. Now is the day of grace. Now is the day of salvation. And it's a blessed thing that that door is open. But one day it will be shut. But for the people of God, it is shut in with Christ. We think about him once in him. In him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. The security that Christ is for his people is set forth. And it was the Lord that shut him in. The Lord that sealed him in. And this was all in the day when that flood came, in the day of great need. Do you know, he wasn't shut in the day before or the week before, but on that day. There is a favoured time, a set time to favour Zion, a set time when the Lord blesses his people with the blessings that they need for that day, for that time and that hour. And Noah needed those things in that day when the Lord brought the flood upon the earth. You and I need those blessings in times of affliction, times of spiritual need, times of temptation, times when we come down to death itself, to know what it is to be shut in with Christ. I want then to look at our last point, which is the types of Christ that Noah knew while he was actually in the ark. The first is this, that the floods that came, they bore up the ark. And the rains that came from above, they fell on the ark. The ark itself was bearing all that was coming of the wrath of God, all the destructing power that was put forth. The ark was bearing all of that. It was shielding Noah and all those within that ark from those things. Our Lord Jesus Christ alone bore the wrath of God due to his people's sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The wrath of God poured out upon the Lord for sin. A just judgment. He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He hath made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Noah would have known this. No doubt they would have in some measure heard and felt the motion of the boat. They have heard some of those things. But they were shielded in a great way. They couldn't see what was going on outside. They couldn't see the death of many round them. They were shut in. But the ark was bearing all of this. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time when we consider the Lord bearing the wrath of God so that we do not bear it. And it's also a beautiful time when we think of the valley of the shadow of death. We think of what the Lord says. He doesn't just say then, come as it were and come on your own. I will come unto you and receive you unto myself. The Lord will be with his people as he was with the Ark of the Covenant in the midst of the Jordan when they went through it. And so with the Ark, the people of God, the Lord has them with him. We think of the second coming of the Lord, which shall be at the end of the world. Those outside of Christ shall be calling upon the rocks and the hills to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. But the Lord shall come with his saints and come with his people. And that when we see these things begin to come to pass, we're to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And so we have Noah in the ark. He would have been realizing what the ark was bearing that they weren't. And I believe in measure we know and have some fellowship with the Lord in his sufferings by knowing through tribulations and chastenings and sorrows something, a little bit, of the sorrows of our Lord, enough to make us realize that he bore the full wrath of God. Then we have the provision. Now, of course, was commanded to make provision, but all of that year long and 10 days, it must have been a miracle. They had provision in that ark. And dear friends, there is a provision in Christ that does not run out. It is again a sufficiency. Not only was there enough room in the ark, there's provision enough. And we're to remember that. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. But then there's safety. Our Lord in John 10, he says, no man is able to pluck them out of mine hands. My Father that gave them me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And we see again the Trinity and the security of the people of God in the Trinity, the three stories, but the safety of Noah in that ark. Safety is of God. Safety is where he is found. And then Fourthly, there is rest in that ark. We have a beautiful type of that where Noah puts forth the dove and it goes and it doesn't find a place for the sole of its foot. So it comes again to the ark, and Noah puts forth his hand and took the dove and pulled him in unto the ark. There is rest. She found no rest outside. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And then lastly, he would have found that faith was well founded. You think how his faith must have been tried those 100 years, preaching and building, and then entering into that ark and proving its security, proving its safety, and at the last to come out of that ark. You know, he would have looked back on all that have happened and he thought, my faith was well founded. It was true. It was right. It was on the rock. The Lord did save me. He did deliver us. He did save us. And what must it be at last to be brought around the throne of God in heaven? I believe there's many times we'll know it here below that we know that our faith in Christ, the Lord has not disappointed it. We proved it to be true and strong and real. But to look in heaven and to remember all what the Lord has brought us through and to realize that our faith in Christ, how good that was, how right that was. And you know, God-given faith, it centers in the right place, and the Lord will never, never let down his dear people. Was Noah let down? Was any part of that salvation, of that deliverance from death to life, was any part let down? Not one part. Everything had been provided for. Everything had been done. And everything was accomplished what that ark was to accomplish. And so it will be with all that are found in Christ. Christ is the only perfect Saviour and shall at last have all the praise and honour and glory in heaven. The praise shall be upon his head through all he has done. And may our faith be strengthened this evening in looking at these types that the ark shows us of our Lord. Sometimes it is through illustrations like this that we can see more clearly some of those beautiful, profound, blessed truths of our Lord, of what he is to the people of God, that he is our salvation. He is our Lord, our God, our Saviour, and our Redeemer, our only hope. May we then be like Noah. May we be of those that are saved through the Lord Jesus Christ and that blessed provision. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.